Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Friday, January 30th. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news updates from around Wyoming. Voters in Wyoming could weigh in on abortion rights this fall. Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Mertzbach breaks this down.
Many Wyoming Republicans want to see a vote on an amendment that could somehow restrict abortion, either a partial or near total ban, or give rights to life in the womb. It could be a last resort for the lawmakers since state courts blocked their legislative efforts. In the last public vote in 1994, Wyomingites shot down an abortion ban 60-40. Here's UC Davis law professor Mary Ziegler.
Even though there's a strong conservative Christian community, there's also a strong libertarian streak in the Republican Party that complicates the politics of this.
The same could be true in Idaho, where abortion's already banned. Advocates there are trying to get enough signatures by May to put reproductive freedoms on the ballot. Wyoming lawmakers will likely decide on amendment language in their upcoming session starting February 9th. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Hannah Mersbach.
A challenger has stepped up to face Harriet Hageman for one of Wyoming's U.S. Senate seats. Jimmy Skafgard of Mills served for over a decade in the Wyoming Army National Guard and has run his own business. His top priorities are financial transparency, setting term limits on lawmakers, and limited government. He says his lack of political experience and connections ensures he'll be accountable to Wyoming voters. He says he's running because, quote, the direction, division, distraction, and fear-mongering is wrong. Skafgard and Hageman, both Republicans, are so far the only two who have announced a bid for the U.S. Senate. Teton County Search and Rescue recently wrapped up another record-breaking year. Jackson Hole Community Radio's Jenna McMurtry looked at the numbers.
TSAR received more than 150 calls for service over the last year. Communications Director Matt Hansen says.
And that's the most this team has ever had.
The rise in call volume included 30 calls for heli assists in Grand Teton National Park in partnership with the park's Jenny Lake Rangers. Search and Rescue acquired its own helicopter in 2023.
Not every call ends up being a full team call out, but it does mean that somebody has to answer the phone and figure out the logistics of what exactly is needed.
Hikers continue to top the call list, followed by skiers, snowboarders, and snowmobilers. Calls from hunters are on the decline from years past. TSAR also saw a bump in out-of-county calls, with requests to help search for missing climbers in the Wind River Range and Bighorn Mountains. I'm Jenna McMurtry, KHOL News.
The Institute of American Indian Arts has educated thousands of indigenous artists from across the country. As Gabriel Pietrazio reports for the Mountain West News Bureau, the school has secured renewed federal funding despite national cuts to higher education.
The Institute of American Indian Arts is synonymous with the Southwest. Housed in Santa Fe, it's where more than 4,000 of Indian country's most creative minds have gone to hone their craft since 1962. But lately, it became the target of budget cuts by the White House, which sought to eliminate its federal funding entirely.
There was a lot of uncertainty. Just kind of wait and see, wait and see.
Shelley Lowe, who grew up in Ganado, Arizona on the Navajo Nation, was named the Institute's president this summer. Congress passed a bill this month that included a $13 million authorization for the school, the same amount from last year.
We just knew that they were hoping to make sure that we got funding, so it was kind of nerve-wracking.
For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Gabriel Pietrazio.
Wyoming closed out 2025 with its unemployment rate holding steady at 3.4%. That's a full percent lower than the national rate. Teton County saw a notable drop in unemployment from November to December as the winter tourism season started to ramp up. Unemployment rates also fell in Platte and Lincoln counties. The jobless rate rose a bit in Carbon, Niobrara, and Crook counties. Year over year, Wyoming's goods, construction, and manufacturing jobs contracted a bit, a decrease of 800 jobs from 2024. The Wyoming Department of Transportation is holding in-person meetings to go over the State Transportation Improvement Program. The agency is planning projects and timelines for 2026 through 2031. Projects can include highways, public transit, airports, federal land roads, and roads on the Wind River Reservation. There will be a public meeting in Newcastle on February 2nd and meetings in Lusk, Evanston, Newcastle, Sundance, and Cody on February 3rd. Head to WyomingPublicMedia.org for more information. And now let's hear from Ivy Engel for a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. The Rock Springs City Council is working to improve roadway safety. The Rock Springs Rocket Miner reports the Vision Zero goal is to eliminate all traffic fatalities and serious injuries within the city by 2050. The plan identifies several high-injury corridors and intersections for safety upgrades. It will shift the focus from reacting to accidents to proactively designing streets that account for human error. Jacksonstown Square has gained an international following. The Jackson Hole News and Guide reports a bar in Vilnius, Lithuania, plays the live stream of the square on a TV at all times. They say no amount of money or event could get them to change it. It all started when they stumbled upon the feed while looking for American destinations for the screen in 2020. It represented an oasis of quiet life. And every time a yellow car, the rarest of them all, drives by, everybody gets a free shot. Residents in Guernsey may notice an unusual critter in their midst. The Guernsey Gazette reports Merlin, the desert tortoise, lives with her owner there. In the warmer months, she's known to roam and has been found up to 5 blocks away from her home. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. When and where was the last known wild population of black-footed ferrets discovered in Wyoming? Send us your answer to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout out to the first person with the right answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, who was the city of Casper named for? The town was named for Lieutenant Casper Collins, who was killed in 1865 in a battle near an army fort that was eventually renamed in his honor. When the railroad arrived in 1888, the town that was subsequently established used the name of the nearby fort. Interestingly, the lieutenant's name was actually spelled C-A-S-P-A-R. The spelling error carried over from the fort to the city. Congratulations to Jody Montgomery, who was the first to submit the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a great weekend and join me again on Monday.